If you have a Bible with you, will you turn to the book of Exodus, the second book of the Bible in the book, and to chapter 6. We're going to read part of the chapter, Exodus chapter 6. If you have a Red Church Bible, it's on page 54. Page 54, Exodus chapter 6, and we're going to read verses 1 to 13, and then verses 26 to 30. We're continuing in our series on Moses. And in the last verse, in chapter 5, Moses is said, having been told to speak to the people and to Pharaoh, and nothing has changed. He says in the last verse of chapter 5, "Neither have you delivered your people at all." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Now you shall see what I will do to Pharaoh, for with a strong hand he will let them go, and with a strong hand he will drive them out of his land." And God spoke to Moses and said to him, "I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty, but by my name Lord I was not known to them. I've also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, in which they were strangers. And I've also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage. And I have remembered my covenant. Therefore say to the children of Israel, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will rescue you from their bondage, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments. I will take you as my people, and I will be your God. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God, who brings you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will bring you in to the land which I swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I will give it to you as a heritage. I am the Lord." So Moses spoke thus to the children of Israel. But they did not heed Moses because of anguish of spirit and cruel bondage. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Go in, tell Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to let the children of Israel go out of his land." And Moses spoke before the Lord, saying, "The children of Israel have not heeded me. How then shall Pharaoh heed me? For I am of uncircumcised lips." Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron and gave the command for the children of Israel and for Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. And then we get the family tree of the people. So we take up the reading, verse 28. "And it came to pass on the day that the Lord spoke to Moses in the land of Egypt, that the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, I am the Lord. Speak to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, all that I say to you. But Moses said before the Lord, Behold, I am of uncircumcised lips, and how shall Pharaoh heed me?" For those who just joined us, when I've been speaking, we've been going through the life of Moses right from his birth and his commissioning by God at the burning bush to speak to Pharaoh, to tell Pharaoh to let the children of Israel go. And we saw last time from chapter 5, the request of Moses and Aaron to let the people go and sacrifice. And Pharaoh had no reason to say no, but say no he did. And his response was to add to their burdens. Up to now, the Israelites had been given straw to make bricks. But from that day on, they had to find their own straw, but still made the same number of bricks. And when the Jewish foreman had pleaded their case before Pharaoh, they got no sympathy whatsoever. And then blamed Moses and Aaron. And we saw at the end of chapter 5, Moses' perplexity. Why have you brought trouble on the people? Why have you sent me? You haven't delivered them at all. And verse 1 of chapter 6 is God's answer. And so in this chapter we have, that was Moses before Pharaoh. Now we have Moses before the eternal Almighty God. And in the first eight verses we have God speaking to Moses, and also in other verses in this chapter a little later on. But in these first eight verses, God basically reminds Moses of two things. Firstly, who he is. Who he is. And you know, it does us no harm at all to remind ourselves who we're dealing with. Who this God is that we're dealing with. And Moses here is speaking with none less than the Almighty, Eternal, Sovereign God. He's the God who spoke to Abraham, the friend of God, to Isaac, the son of promise, to Jacob, the deceiver. But Jacob, as Genesis 32:28 tells us, struggled with God and men and prevailed. Do you remember how he wrestled with God? And in consequence, received a new name, Israel. And God in the opening verses says, I am the Lord. And that I am, Jehovah or Yahweh, I am who I am. I will be who I will be. He's reminding Moses that he is the Almighty, Eternal, Sovereign God. And it's this God, this Almighty, Sovereign God of heaven and earth, whom puny Pharaoh is daring to defy. My friend, if you're not a Christian tonight, you're doing exactly what Pharaoh did. You are daring to defy this Almighty, Sovereign God. Also refusing God's command to repent, as Paul told the Ephesians in Acts 17. But if you're a Christian tonight, this is the God who loves you, who redeems you, who cares for you, and has you in the palm of his hand, and no one is going to pluck you out. In verses 3 to 5, God reminds Moses of what he has done and what he will do for his people. He reminds Moses of the covenant that he made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. A covenant is a binding agreement between two or more people or groups of people. And the concept of covenant, says a Bible dictionary, between God and his people is one of the most important theological truths of the Bible. And verse 5. And I also have heard the groaning of the people. Sometimes when we're going through trials and difficulties and they carry on and on and on, we think nobody hears. Nobody hears our groanings that somehow we can't express to other people. He does. He does. Do you remember how the psalmist in Psalm 56 speaks about God putting his tears into his bottle? He misses nothing. And in verses 6 to 8, did you notice the number of times the words "I will" come? This is what God is going to do. I will bring you out. I will rescue you. I will redeem you. I will take you as my people. I will bring you into the land that I swore or promised to give you. I will, I will, I will. There may be many times when we say, oh, I will do something. And we intend to do it. Sometimes we forget. Oops. Sometimes we can't. But it's not like that with God. When he says he will do something, he will do something. He's utterly reliable. You know, if you're a Christian tonight, how this ought to warm your heart. Because God has said he will bring us out of the Egypt of this world. He will bring us into our promised land of heaven. The Israelites had to fight for their promised land. The Lord Jesus Christ fought for ours on the cross. And every Christian will reach heaven. Every single one. None are going to be missed. No matter how weak a Christian they may be, if they truly know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Saviour, they're going to be there in heaven. And it still staggers me. I may have said this many times before. I don't care. I'm going to say it again. It still staggers me. Just think of it. If you're a Christian, you and I, sinners, can call the Almighty God who holds this world and universe and universes in the palm of his hand a name that the highest and holiest archangels in glory daren't. We can call him Father. We can call him Father. Christian, does that make you wonder? Does that give you a sense of awe? If it doesn't, why not? It ought to. God. God speaks to Moses. But in verse 9, Moses, in obedience to God, speaks to the people. But so Moses spoke thus to the children of Israel, but they did not heed Moses because of anguish of spirit and cruel bondage. E.W. Pink says, the Israelites were groaning in bondage, ignorant of that grace which God had in store for them, now unable to value the precious promises of Jehovah. They couldn't believe anything would change. Now we know that it did. We know the end of the story. They didn't. The Israelites didn't listen to Moses and Aaron. And we know why. We're told why. Because of their cruel bondage. It had gone on and on and on and on, day after day after day after day. And it's the same with people today. We go out into the open air on a Tuesday. People walk by. We offer them a tract. They say, no, thank you. They don't want to listen. They don't want to hear. What about you, my friend? What about you? What about me? Do we want to hear what God has to say? And if not, why not? Who are you listening to, my friend? The world or the Lord? The third thing is Moses then speaks to God. Here we have the heart of Moses. You can almost sense his desperation. God has spoken to him. God has said, you tell my people this. Moses has told them. They don't want to listen. God has also said, go tell Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to let the children of Israel go out of the land. Verse 12. Moses spoke before the Lord, saying, the children of Israel have not heeded me. How then shall Pharaoh heed me? For I am of uncircumcised lips. Moses basically says, your people didn't listen to you. So how come Pharaoh's going to? Perhaps Moses was remembering the last time they encountered their fellow Israelites. After the Hebrew foreman had their disastrous meeting with Pharaoh, and they met Moses and Aaron and blamed them for the situation. Perhaps that was fresh in Moses' mind, how their words must have stung. Perhaps one word forming in Moses' mind was the word impossible. Moses describes himself, for I am uncircumcised and inept in speech, as the Amplified Bible puts it, who am of uncircumcised lips. If you have an authorized or a New King James. But it wasn't God's oratory wasn't Moses' oratory, his fine speaking that God wanted. It was his obedience. We may not be able to talk as finely as others, but that's not what God's looking for. God's looking for people who will tell others what God has done for them. Verse 13, God gives Moses a command and a charge both to the children of Israel and to Pharaoh, to bring the children of Israel out of Egypt. I like the comment that A.W. Pink has about this verse. Moses was not to be afraid of the haughty monarch, but must interview him again and speak plainly and boldly, not in supplicatory or asking, but in an authoritative way, in the name of the King of Kings. Moses was God's ambassador. He was the ambassador of the King of Heaven. Do you know, God never sends us, his servants, anywhere that he does not go with us. Do you remember what the Lord said to his disciples? I will never leave you, nor forsake you. And whatever you're facing, my friend, this week, it may be a new term, a new school or college. It may be uncertainty, health-wise. It may also be what you've been looking forward to. But whatever it is and wherever it is, God Almighty is right there with you. Every moment of every day. Briefly, there are three lessons that we need to learn. What have we got to learn that this passage shows us? Well, I think there are three things. Firstly, God and his word do not change. God promised to bring his people out of Egypt. And in his own, in his time, and in his way, God did precisely that. And there was nothing that Pharaoh and all his army could do to stop him. And we need to remember this. People are denying God and his word. They're saying the Bible is irrelevant. They want to get rid of the Bible. We need to remember this in our sin-ridden society. Yes, the word of God is an offence to many because it challenges their sinful ways. The Israelites would know deliverance from Egypt. As you read the book of Exodus, you find that precisely God's time they were delivered. Pharaoh and his people would know the judgment of God. But you know, we need to realize, my friend, that what God has said in his word, he will do. Whether it's in blessing or in judgment. for Christians. There are many trials, there are many temptations, as well as joys, many sorrows, as well as many blessings in Egypt of this present world. But we can know God's help and God's blessing, God's provision. I couldn't help thinking, as David mentioned his experience when out of work or going through difficult times, and you mentioned the brown envelope, David, my mind goes back, and perhaps Andrew will remember the time when I was out of work. I had two young children. Wife, and I was out of work 9 months. We had a cat at the time named Sue. We would come home on a Sunday evening, and through the envelope on the doormat would be a brown envelope with cash in it, labelled for the cat. We used that money for the cat. That cat would have dined on caviar every day of its life. Was obviously for us, week after week. The moment I was back in work, it stopped like that. God will not fail us. He knows what we need. Yes, he also knows what we want. But he's promised to provide what we need. And God always keeps his word. And his word does not change. And he does not change. But if you're not a Christian tonight, you need to know that. Because God's word tells us there's a judgment to come. An eternal judgment. Hebrews 9:27, appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. We never know when we are going to leave this world. But one day we will face the Lord Jesus Christ. We will either stand commended or we'll stand condemned. And there's only one way, through believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. God will judge those who refuse to put their trust in him. And that judgment will be terrible, and it will be eternal. You may have been in church before. You've been here before, and it's lovely to see you. It really is. If you're not a Christian, you're in danger of that judgment as you sit here in church. What you need to do is to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and ask him to forgive your sin and to be Lord of your life. Then you'll know him as we who are Christians know him, as Father. Secondly, God uses his people to speak his word. God used Moses and Aaron to speak to his own people, the Israelites, and to Pharaoh. But for those of us who are Christians, it's anyone we come into contact with. God uses us. He doesn't send angels. He could do. He uses us who know him and love him to be witnesses for him, to family, to friends, to neighbours, to work colleagues, to anyone we meet. dear brother Harry. Harry Alger, who with Roses moved down to Gosport, said, and it's very true, that we missionaries, the moment we move out of our front door, because we don't know who we're going to meet. Do you pray for divine appointments? Lord, give me someone to speak today. Do you carry tracts? Just for when the Lord gives those opportunities. He will answer. I've experienced that. He uses us. And thirdly and finally, God still speaks today. Are we listening? Boys and girls, has your mum or dad ever said to you, "Are you listening to me?" Shall I tell you something? It's not only boys and girls it's said to. I think back to the times when I was Margaret and I, last thing a night, and I'd be, Margaret would say, "You listening to me?" "Yes, dear." We know why the Israelites didn't listen to the Lord and didn't listen to Moses. But what about you and I? Are we listening to God? Do we want to hear what he has to say to us? And if not, why not? What do we want to hold on to that's stopping us? Remember, you're going to meet him today, one day. Will you listen to him now, while you have time, before it's too late? Let's sing our last hymn. Hymn number 2, "Before Jehovah's awful throne, you nations bow with sacred joy. Know that the Lord is God alone. He can create and he destroy." Number 2.
Lord,
Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Saviour, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.